This is a Retail Insider podcast. You're listening to The Weekly.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Weekly by Retail Insider. I'm Lee Rivett, and I'm joined with the owner and publisher of Retail Insider Media, Craig Patterson, to discuss this week's most read articles on retail-insider.com. So thanks for joining me, Craig.
Hello, everyone.
And now just a quick word from our sponsor, Sageau, Canada's first specialized retail builder. Visit the link in our show notes to see Sageau's holistic approach and transdisciplinary team to explore and understand your needs. Now, back to our podcast. Now, for this week's episode, the most read article is done by you, Craig, where you talked about some of the new stores and developments on Robson Street in downtown Vancouver. And for those that may not be from Vancouver or don't know about Robson Street, it goes east-west through the entire downtown of Vancouver, which starts on the east side at BC Place on the north shore of Falls Creek, and then runs all the way past the Vancouver Public Library, Robson Square, the Art Gallery, and all the way down to Lost Lagoon in Stanley Park. Now, when you were here last month, Craig, you focused on just visiting the core commercial blocks that would have been a sliver of Robson Street from Burrard Street to Bute Street. And that's the basis of your article, right?
Yeah, I'm going to focus on that part of Robson Street, as well as another smaller block, the 900 block, which is between Burrard Street and Hornby Street. Start a discussion at Robson and Burrard Street.
Yes, that's the corner with the Lululemon flagship, the La Cité, as well as the Roots that's been there forever, and the former location of Victoria's Secret that just closed.
Yeah, so it's not much of a secret. We already reported on this particular announcement, but the entire former Victoria's Secret store, which is it's over 33,000 square feet, is going to become an Adidas concept store. And we'll have more information on the Adidas concept store and Retail Insider. I actually don't have it all myself, but the company is going to be working with us exclusively on an announcement to discuss it. But it's going to be obviously much, much bigger than any other Adidas store in Canada, so stay tuned for that. But the big announcement that we did make through an article in Retail Insider was that Arc'teryx was going to be moving into the space where Roots is currently located at 1001 Robson Street.
Craig, that shocked me when I heard the news that Roots was leaving, because that Robson and Burrard location, it's been there for like 15, 20 plus years. What happened?
I was told that Arc'teryx came in and just scooped this lease up. Roots didn't necessarily want to leave its corner location, which is extremely prominent. And that was one of their top selling stores when I interviewed Mike Budman in 2014. Because what happened was I think a lease had been renewed on that space and they had been planning to renovate it.
So if you interviewed Mike Budman back in 2014, it must have been like a 10-year lease that's up. Well, that's interesting because the old Arc'teryx location is just one door south of La Cité at that intersection. So it's just moving up a little bit north to have that prominent location. Interesting. Do you know what's going to be filling in its old spot that used to be the La Chateau before Arc'teryx moved into that spot?
Hammer Sports is based in Finland, is going to be taking the current Arc'teryx at 813 Burrard Street, which will become Peak Performance, another sub-brand of Hammer Sports. So, interesting move.
Yeah, and of course we're not privy to the conversations that happened between Roots and the landlord at that location, but it's been kind of implied that it was a surprise to Roots that they weren't having their lease renewed for another 10 years. And again, we're guessing 10 years as well, just based on the interviews that we've had. But is it common, or have you seen examples where commercial real estate didn't renew tenant agreements after their expiry by the landlord? Because I'm more familiar with the residential side, where there's protections for people who make a home somewhere, where this is more of a commercial business arrangement.
Very different laws.
Very different laws.
Completely different. There's a major investment that would typically go into building that store. But the landlord in the future, once a tenancy comes up, a retail space, that can be a different story. And we don't always know the stories in the background, what's happened. But sometimes a retailer that's been in there to the end of their lease, if it's 5 or 10 years, may want to leave, or perhaps they want to stay. And perhaps a tenant comes in that will offer substantially more rent, or perhaps the landlord is unhappy with the tenant they currently have and may take a new tenant for one of various reasons.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happened here with this particular situation. I don't know if I want to know. But nevertheless, it's a situation where a retailer has lost its lease and may end up just moving up the street.
Oh, do we know where Roots is going to be moving potentially to?
Yeah, we're not 100% sure yet, but someone told me that is quite knowledgeable, but I won't name them because we protect our sources. Roots could end up moving into a quadreal property on the 900 block of Robson Street, which would be a retail space that had been occupied by Tesla. But I don't know how big it is. It doesn't look like a large space, but this was the information that was provided.
Right. Tesla was there. And then I believe that TWG Tea House, which is from Singapore, was going to move in there. And there was signage and construction that had been going on for even just the last year, but it never seemed to have opened. The original location of TWG was on Georgia Street, which I went to all the time for afternoon tea with my mother. It was beautiful, but of course it shuttered. And I've just seen it with the quadreal window wrapping saying for lease for the last 6 months or so. And that's awesome. There's no roots mentioned yet. It's just leased, but it's only a matter of time before we're going to see the roots construction signage going up if what you're saying is going to come to pass.
We'll see if that actually happens. It wouldn't be a bad thing. Having roots at that location would be quite prominent. It's across from Lululemon. Peloton is the same building, but just at the end on the corner.
And before we get too far away from the original Roots location that's going to be vacated at Burrard and Robson, do you know how long Roots has been there or even what was there before Roots?
So the Roots building has some interesting history. I remember when I was a teenager heading into Vancouver playing hockey years ago. This was in the 1990s, but there was a store at that corner called One Plus One. It was a women's retailer. There was a lot of retailers that were on Robson Street that aren't anymore. That's not a surprise. It's the same thing with our shopping centers. But I remember Marks and Spencer being there and Polo Ralph Lauren and all of these stores that are not on Robson Street anymore. But and there was actually a little shopping center there, the Robson Galleria, where Polo was along with Alfred Sung and a few others. But anyways, One Plus One was on the corner. But then Roots, I think, got that lease in 1996. So it's been quite a while now that Roots has been at that corner.
And moving just a little bit west, Club Monaco shuttered.
Yeah, so Club Monaco has been at its location on, or had been on its location on Robson Street for, I think it was about 20 years or so. The building was built in around 2000, and the building is almost 9,000 square feet. But now Daily Hive did report on this. We knew about this beforehand, that JD Sports is going to be taking the Club Monaco space. Construction has started. Lee, you took a photo of the construction hoarding. And we did know about this deal before through Jordan Karp, but I'll credit him with the deal. Jordan Karp from Savills Canada has the mandate for JD Sports to expand the brand across the country in terms of opening stores. And Mario Negris and Martin Moriarty of Marcus & Millichamp represented the landlord. So I want to give you guys credit for that deal, but that'll be exciting. So I like these JD Sports stores. They're clean and refreshing. And I know that in the UK, some landlords have been a little bit hesitant to maybe have JD stores, worried about attracting a certain client. But I'll walk into a JD Sports here in Canada, say at West Edmonton Mall, and it's just, I don't know, families with their kids buying sneakers. It's very wholesome. So I think it's a great tenant. So good job, JD Sports. You've secured your first downtown and probably only downtown Vancouver location, because they probably don't need more than one, right? It's a big store and you're not going to pepper a downtown core with a whole bunch of these.
And also on Robson, I forgot to mention Lush Spa is now open. So Craig, tell us a little bit about what you've heard about Lush and their spa.
So Lush Spa, we had another journalist write an article. I was in Vancouver in January, I guess it would have been, for the ICSC conference. It was not open yet. It was under construction hoarding, so I didn't get a chance to actually see it. But Lee, you being a resident of Vancouver full-time, you do get to see these things. It hadn't been open in January, but it opened, I think, in late January and now is open. And now, Lee, you were saying, I think that this spa has, what is it, massages, skincare?
You can even rent a bathtub.
Is there anything else that you noticed there when you popped
by?
Well,
when I just popped by, it's like the back left corner of the store. Of course, it's segmented off to make it a more intimate environment because you're having massages, you're having facials, you're getting into a bathtub. So you don't want that to be open to everything. But it looks great in the promotional photos on their website of the spa area with the different services that they offer. And the remaining three quarters of the actual retail space of the store on Robson Street, you can then go browse to take a look at the different products that they obviously were using during those spa services.
I wonder if the math makes sense for the rent, because Robson Street's rents are quite high, and having a somewhat large area which is meant for services like spa services at that part of Robson Street being very prime, I don't know what Lush is paying for its rent per square foot, but that's quite an ambitious thing to do in a very expensive piece of real estate. I hope that Lush is actually making a go of this, but I know that some of these Lush stores can do over $5 million a year in sales, even some closer to 10. I hope it's successful, and I want all retail to be successful.
And the next retailer is a little bit further down on Robson. It's Esprit that's coming in. And J.Crew used to be there years ago. And of course, since then, they've always had this construction signage in the window so that you can't look in. But the signage is colorful. It had geometric shapes and says release and coming soon. So I didn't even realize that Esprit was going to be coming into this space because their signage is the same color, geometric shape. So I just thought it was the same construction for lease signage that's been there for years. So Craig, let's talk about Esprit.
This will be a first in Canada for this new Esprit concept. I think it's at least the third time that the brand has entered Canada. We had Esprit stores years ago when I was a kid, and then came back with at least two stores. There was West Edmonton Mall and Metropolis at Metrotown. I think it was in around 2015. They came in and then promptly disappeared. I'm not actually sure what happened, to be honest, with that Esprit expansion. I wrote about it, but it just fizzled out. I remember the team at West Edmonton Mall saying the store is no longer here. I'd have to ask them what was going on. But now we have this new, again, version of Esprit. It's a different type of retailer. So this location on Robson Street will be quite large. I don't actually have the square footage in front of me, but I think it's maybe between 6,000 and 8,000 square feet, perhaps. Martin Moriarty and them will know. I mean, they can confirm these things because it's a done deal and the signage is up.
Well, I'm excited to see what it looks like because I don't think I've actually seen an Esprit store. But before we get too far down this way, like, can we just backtrack to the former Victoria's Secret location on Robson? But we have Ferragamo that we never really talked about and what's going on in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, Salvatore Ferragamo, or maybe we just call it Ferragamo now, but Italian brand known for footwear to start, now known for bags and clothing and everything. It's become a bit of a fashion and lifestyle brand, but Ferragamo has had a long history in Vancouver. The store that is currently at 918 Robson Street, it's been renovated more than once, but it's been there since 1981.
That's a long time.
It's one of the longest standing retailers on Robson Street, I would think. It's one of the longest standing luxury retailers in Vancouver, if not the longest standing. I don't know if it is. I think Ferragamo for sure would be. I think Cartier was 2007. So Ferragamo has been there longer. 1981, that's incredible. Now, the building where Ferragamo is, it's an office building with retail on the main floor. It was a proposal to redevelop it with a taller building. But so at some point that could be demolished. But my understanding from various sources is that Ferragamo would be exiting its Robson Street location around 2025. So next year, as it opens at the Oak Ridge Park Shopping Center at 41st and Cambie on the west side, and that would be in the spring of 2025. That would be a movement in downtown Vancouver where either the Ferragamo space on Robson Street would either have to be filled for a period of time, or maybe the building would be demolished. But I'm not aware of any development plans where the building will be torn down next year, so I think that will be a vacancy that would have to be filled, even if it's with a tenant for a somewhat temporary period of time. So I lack insider information, so I have to be a bit speculative with this one.
And to start spiraling this podcast to a close, let's just wrap with a little bit more of a discussion on Robson Square and the Nordstrom space that was vacated last year.
I've been told that on the main floor, Cadillac Fairview was talking to various retailers to potentially open on that main floor. And a lot of names were being thrown around that were pretty big names. Some were national, some were international. And I won't name those because I don't know what's going to finally land there, because I was given like 8 names and then given 3 that probably signed, but again, I'm just not going to say them because we want to report on them when we actually know. But there is one rumor that I'll say, just because it got out and it was so pervasive, was that a woman on TikTok had said that she was confirming that La Maison Simons was going to be taking the upper 2 levels of the former Nordstrom space. And I can't confirm that. I don't have that information, but it could be true. It would make sense. But if it's true, wonderful news. And hopefully some other Nordstrom boxes in Canada might also get the Simons treatment, because I really like La Maison Simons. It's a large format fashion retailer that's from Quebec City. The stores are architecturally very interesting. Most of the product that is carried in the store is private label. They do have some designer brands, but certainly a lot of their own brands that they've developed, like an H&M or Zara kind of a thing, or Aritzia actually is a good example. And so anyways, crossing fingers it comes. I'd love to have Simons in these Nordstrom boxes. So I'm right there with the general public cheering this on. But I have to tell people I don't have full insider information on this one, so I can't confirm anything yet myself, as much as I'd love to.
And what about the retail around Robson and Granville that's not necessarily the old Nordstrom space?
There was a Payless shoe store at the southeast corner of that intersection. Again, we're talking Robson and Granville Street. And now there are no tenants confirmed that I'm aware of, but I think it was actually in 2019, a Japanese brand called A Bathing Ape, or Bape, as some people may know it as, had signed a lease for the building. I think the store would have been about 13,000 square feet. And it would have been one of three Bathing Ape locations in Vancouver. I think South Granville was another one. And then I can't remember what the third one was. It might have been actually Oak Ridge, but, or maybe it was Richmond Center. But anyways, there would have been these stores. But there was some internal issues as well as some external issues happening around some protests in Hong Kong. But for various reasons, the company made the decision not to expand into Canada at that time. And maybe that wasn't the worst decision for them to make, because we did a year later have a pandemic where we had this chaotic lockdowns and consumer spending. And I don't even have to explain what happened. It was quite disastrous for a lot of retailers. It didn't happen, but it could have happened. It's interesting to sometimes know what could have been in certain locations and what had been proposed.
And what about the northeast corner of that intersection? That's where the Best Buy and the Winners is.
Yes, this is an interesting corner because you've got this building there. It's got some smaller retailers on the main floor. I think Cafe Crepe might still be there. I used to eat there all the time. But upstairs, you've got a Best Buy store, which used to be Future Shop until the lockdown of 2015, where they switched all the stores over. And then upstairs from the Best Buy is a Winners store. And the building was put on the market, I think it was late last year. Marcus Emilichep, I think, is selling it. And what I thought was interesting was actually, Kenneth Chan from Daily Hive had gone into the BC assessment and looked at what the building was assessed at. And it was a bit over $115 million. But almost 100% of that was the land value. And I think something like $280,000 was the value of the building. And it's about a 90,000 square foot building. So basically, BC assessment, they're not saying that the building standing there is a white elephant. But they basically are. It's saying that there's almost no value in the actual building that's standing on the land. Once you get to that point, I'm sure the owners are saying, how tall can we build here and what can we do? So I'm not aware specifically of any development applications happening on this site as far as something that's been brought to Vancouver City Hall. But I have heard chatter around Bonus being the owner, maybe wanting to redevelop the property. And I would just say that I would not be surprised if they did, just given the fact that there's really an assessment around the land value being there. The building is quite short, and if there is an opportunity to build higher, now the city of Vancouver does have very strict bylaws around height and density everywhere, it seems. It's almost frustrating, but at the same time, the city has, in some instances, relaxed height and density restrictions. So perhaps if there was a proposal for an office tower on that site, hopefully there's some demand for office space still, and a building was recently finished for Amazon by Quadreal nearby, but we'll see what happens. I don't know if a tower for residential would be approved on that spot at a substantial height, but if the city saw a benefit to an office building being put there, perhaps we would see a redevelopment. But this is all my own speculation, obviously. I don't have any insight currently into that corner in terms of what's happening, other than that it was brought to market.
And the last question that I have is around Robson Street, and how's it going to compete with Oak Ridge Park when it finally ever opens?
I think that Robson Street's certainly going to be competing with the new Oak Ridge Park in 2025, and Robson Street has already been competing with the shopping centers like Metropolis and Metrotown and Park Royal to a degree, and even the CF Richmond Center. These are all accessible by transit. And no, Robson Street, it's got a decent mix of stores, but the sidewalks, I've been walking down Robson Street since the 90s, and I don't think there's been any substantial change in the sidewalks. I'm sure a lot of that concrete is there from the 80s and even the 70s. I'm not even sure how old it is, but it does surprise me that a street like Robson hasn't seen a major update, maybe even during my lifetime. Because streets like commercial streets like this in other parts of the world, where very often the public realm has been updated, where you have new sidewalks and pavements beautiful, being on the street, not the sidewalks, like in the UK, the term, but beautiful streets that have nice sidewalks and furniture and trees. And Robson Street doesn't look like some of the nice fancy streets that you see in other cities. It's a bit gritty. And during the pandemic, some of these sidewalk patios had been installed in Robson Street, which gives it actually a nice look. But overall, the street hasn't seen the type of updates that we're seeing in other cities. Like in London, I know in May, they've earmarked over, I think, £100 million to, that's currency, that is, to update various streets in that part of the city. And we're seeing this in other cities as well, where the streets are being updated with sidewalks. Bloor Street, a number of years ago, got new granite sidewalks that were tremendous. In Montreal, we're seeing St. Catherine Street going under a major renovation as well with new sidewalks and whatnot. I don't know. I'm not aware of any plans to update Robson Street, but in terms of its tenant mix and overall look, it's going to be continuing to compete with what's already in the Vancouver market for retail, as well as with Oak Ridge and even CF Pacific Center, which is not too far away. So I don't know. Years ago, I applied to be the executive director of the Robson Street BIA. This is, I think Retail Insider was like 6 months old or something. It was 12 years ago. I'd come in and I was interviewed by a director at the time. None of these people are there anymore, by the way. They're all nice people, by the way. Nothing bad to say about anyone. But I was turned down for the job partly because I wanted to actually upgrade the streetscape. And the director who owned a store that's no longer on the street, that's now where Muji is, basically, said, no, we're not hiring you because you're going to ruin my business. Because I was going to
rip up the street.
Basically tear up the sidewalks and redo the street. And this person was against that, saying that my ideas were a little too grandiose. And also, I think the person said I had a little too much freedom, having been an entrepreneur, that I wouldn't have been a right fit. But anyways, it is what it is. I'm glad I didn't get the job because I'm here with Retail Insider now running it full time. I wanted the best for Robson Street, and knowing what I was seeing in other places around the world, I thought that Robson Street could have used a major update to bring it in line aesthetically with other leading commercial streets globally.
Well, Oak Ridge Park might be the motivation for the Robson area to be able to up its game aesthetically. But Craig, thanks for going through this very well-read article on Robson Street and in my neck of the woods, and talk with you next week.
Thank you so much, Lee, and thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Take care and bye for now.